Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1. No. Actually, it's easier that far away. But... Well, this pulpit seems so tall all of a sudden. I hope you'll forgive me that I am sucking on a Hall's cough drop. While preaching, I'll try not to let it disturb my speech too much, but it would only be worse if I wasn't sucking on it. How's that? So, I know a lot of people have been getting the sore throat, cough, and all that that's been going around. So, as good Christians, they always share everything with their pastor. And so I'll share it with the rest of you. Luke chapter 1 and verse 14. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Look with me in chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We're taking a break this week from our normal expository preaching through the book of Exodus to preach a message this morning on the joy of Christmas. The joy of Christmas, Brother Doyle, if you'd ask the Lord's blessing upon the message.
Father God, as we come here today and we fellowship one with another, let us never forget that you chose to come down from glory. You chose to walk the life of a man so that we could have eternal life. Now, let us be joyous in this celebration. Let us never forget that if it wasn't for this birth, we could never have our second birth.
Right. Father,
we ask
you
to bless everything that's done here today. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Christmas is a time of joy, a season of joy. The problem is that the world doesn't really have joy.
Right.
And the reason that they do not is because they do not have Christ. And Christ, not in Christmas, just leaves you with a mess. I'd rather have Christ than the mass. The word joy is a good word for joy. I mean, some words just fit. When you think of, say joy, everybody right now, say joy. What'd your mouth do when you said that? Joy! See? Some of you smiled for the first time today when you said that. I mean, something about that, it's the right word for joy, isn't it? What if it was called bread? Or, you know, leuven? It doesn't make any sense. When you say joy, what do you, it just naturally, joy, it just brings, it's a good word for it. It's not a good word for dishwashing soap. You know, I don't equate joy and dirty dishes. This doesn't work for me, but joy, that's the right word. The world doesn't have joy. You say, well, how do you know? I see their faces. I mean, you've been out shopping, maybe you've been in the malls, you go down when we're street preaching down there, we see it. You know what's missing in this world? I'll tell you what's missing is joy. You say, why is joy missing? Because Jesus is missing. And without Jesus Christ, you can't have joy. That's why they're out there doing the drugs. That's why they're out there getting drunk. They're trying to find something. You know what they're trying to find? They're trying to find joy. And they've gotten to the point now where they're just really against Christmas. I mean, you can't say Merry Christmas a lot of places. They think that's a bad thing. God help us when saying Merry Christmas becomes something bad. You can say Happy Holidays. You can say, you know, have a great season, whatever, Happy New Year. But don't mention that word Christ. Listen, without Christ, there is no joy. They started that thing a long time ago when I was a young person, when they started with that Xmas stuff. And they took Christ out. You take Christ out, you're left with Antichrist. And that's what the Apostle John said in 1 John. He talked about the spirit of Antichrist that should come even now already, is it in the world. And it's just going to get worse and worse until the Lord comes back. They make it illegal in a lot of places to have manger scenes and all the rest of it now. And it's unfortunate, but it just shows you the world's attitude. The world doesn't have joy. They're not happy. They're angry. They're frustrated. And they don't know what to do. I saw a cartoon, and it had a rendition of Silent Night sung by the ACLU Children's Choir. And all the children had gags around their mouth. Yeah. So what's the problem? They don't even want the kids singing Christmas songs in the public schools anymore. After all, they may say the word Jesus.
Yeah.
Now you can say Muhammad.
Yeah.
You know, you can say devil. You can say all that, just don't say Jesus in school.
Yeah.
What's the problem? No joy.
Right.
When they start taking Jesus out, the joy leaves.
Right.
Hey, I know. Listen, you want to make a good investment. I know the stock markets are down. I understand. Invest in the drug companies that are making the antidepressants. They will have good business. And their business will continue to get better and better and better. Why? The world moves further and further from God. They lose the joy. They become depressed. And there you go. But this is supposed to be a season of joy, isn't it? Christmas? Then why is it that in the world it's the highest time of the year for suicide? Isn't that a strange thing? What's the problem? They've taken Christ out of Christmas. You take Jesus out of Christmas, you take Jesus out, you take the joy out. Well, we believe it's a season of joy. Do you really? Look in Isaiah chapter 9. What's the world's idea of joy? I guess the world's idea of joy is people getting trampled to death in shopping malls so that somebody can be the first one to buy the new gadget, the new toy. I don't consider that a joyous thing. That's the world's idea of joy, I suppose. The joy of Christmas is not in the gifts. The joy of Christmas is definitely not in Santa Claus or in spiked eggnog. The joy of Christmas is found in the one it's supposed to be about, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, notice if you would with me, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. You know what that is? That's a prophetic verse about the coming of Jesus Christ. Look down in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, so on and so forth. A prophetic verse about the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? When we're celebrating Christmas, it's supposed to be a celebration of the advent of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world, and that should bring joy. But you know what's happened? That thing's been capitalized and turned around, and the only thing that makes people happy now is the getting drunk part and the Santa part and the getting gifts stuff. Look in verse 3. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, what are they rejoicing in? Stuff. Not in the fact of who came, but in the fact of all the stuff that they could get. That is not where the joy is found. Joy is not found in things. There's plenty of people that have hit the lottery and made it big and then killed themselves. Amen. The joy is not found in receiving things and in money. Joy is found in knowing the Savior. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yep.
Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. That's where real joy comes from. Now, how to have joy at Christmas and evermore. You know, I find that joy is contagious. But I also find that people without joy are contagious. You know, these stoic Christians. We might have some here, I don't know. But, you know, these Christians that are just always... I love God. I'm holy. Well, man, act like it. Enjoy yourself. Why don't you take some of the starch out or something? Isn't God mean? He wants you to have joy. I'm never going back to that church, man. They were laughing and shouting and saying amen, and they had all kinds of joy. I can't stand that. Well, some people can't. I guess it depresses them. Why? Because they realize they don't have it, and you're reminding them. Amen. Hey, we ought to have joy. We're God's people. And if you don't have joy, something's wrong. Something's missing. God's desire is for us to have joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. It's God's desire for us to have joy in our life. So I'm just going to preach for a couple of hours this morning on this idea of the joy of Christmas, or how to have joy. If you'll look with me, please, and in Acts chapter 2, we have joy, Acts chapter 2, through Christ's presence. We have joy through Christ's presence. Psalm 16:11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." When you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, the end result is automatically joy. But you realize that you can have the Spirit of God. You can be a child of God, but not have the fruit of joy, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You understand that? You can have the Holy Spirit, but not be producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you've quenched the Holy Spirit in your life. And God's desire is for you to bear fruit and to have joy. Well, then how do we lose joy? How do we lose the presence of God? Real simple. Sin. That's all it is. All it takes for you to lose your joy is sin. And you thought, see, that's where the devil lied, and you believe him. You thought that if I do that, then I'll be happy. Then I'll get satisfaction. And then I'll have joy. He's a thief and a robber. And instead of giving you the joy that you thought you could attain by that sin, you ended up feeling worse than you did before you sinned. Say, why? Because you lost Christ's presence. Now we understand, and I mentioned this morning, we can't lose the Spirit of God. You're a Christian, you're always going to have the Spirit of God, but you can quench the Spirit of God. You can grieve the Spirit of God. And in so doing, the fruit of the Spirit is not exhibited in your life. David prayed and said, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation." Why did he lose it? Sin. That was after the incident with Bathsheba, see? And when you sin, you'll lose joy. And don't tell me, come on, stop kidding around. I see it over and over and over again. Y'all come in here Sunday morning, ring the bells, and joy to the world, the Lord is come. And then you come back Sunday night, joy to the world, the Lord. I know what happened. You got right Sunday morning. And you got the joy bells back. Amen. I see a difference every time between Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Same people. Now maybe y'all just ain't getting any sleep. And y'all just coming in here grumpy and, you know, tired and all that. Asked the lady one time, "Did you wake up grumpy this morning?" She says, "No, I let him sleep." Acts chapter 2, verse 28, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Listen, when you're close to God, you'll have joy. Look with me in 1 John chapter 1. When you're close to God, you'll have joy. When you get the sin out and get more of Jesus in, you'll have joy. It's just a natural byproduct. It's just the natural fruit of living a life close to Jesus Christ. The result, the fruit of that will be joy. Where Jesus is, there's joy. Look with me in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us, thank God, from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I've heard some people say, well, I'm saved, I don't sin anymore. Well, you're deceiving yourself, you think that. You shouldn't sin as much, you shouldn't sin as grievously, but if you're going to tell me, you're going to get up here and say you've been saved for 7 years and you've never sinned, I don't believe you. And if that really is the case and you're telling the truth, you ought to be up here, not me. Amen. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But guess what? If you lie to yourself and you say, I didn't really sin when you did, you're not going to confess them. What's going to happen? What's going to be the end result? You're going to lose fellowship. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You can lose fellowship. What's the whole point of all that? Look back in verse 4. Why is John saying all that? These things write we unto you, why? That your joy may be full. Listen, when you'll forsake and confess your sins, put it under the blood of Christ, get right with God, get close to Him, what's the automatic result? What's the fruit? What's the end of that? Real simple, joy. Some of you need some joy. Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just quit? Whatever you've been doing, just quit. Just repent. Confess it. Just get right with God. Get clean in the blood of Jesus. And I guarantee you, you'll have the joy that you've been missing. You'll have that joy that'll make you enjoy the things of God. The things of God will no longer be a drudgery to you. You won't have to make yourself go to church. You'll be saying, man, I can't wait until church again. That's the difference, see? That's the difference. Well, when the offering plate comes around, it won't be, yeah, I guess we're supposed to tithe. I guess that's right. I guess that, you know, the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what it is? When you got the joy, you can do it with a smile on your face. You can serve God with the right spirit, with the right motivation, and with the right attitude. Look with me, please, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. When you'll get close to the Lord, you'll have the joy. So we have joy through Christ's presence. And we have joy through the Bible. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Hit on this a little bit this morning. John chapter 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What is it that Christ wants in you? Joy. We'll look back in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. What's he saying? Hey, if you'll take my words and put my words in you, you know what you're putting into you? You're putting joy in. Amen. Amen. You want joy? Joy comes from Scripture. Look with me in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. More than any radio program or television program or any movie, just old-fashioned Bible. You know what it'll do? It'll bring joy. You know why a lot of Christians these days don't have any joy? They're sitting around doing all the things the world's doing. They're watching the world's TV shows. They're watching the world's movie. They spend 5 minutes a week in the Bible. That's not how to find joy. Joy is found in the words of God. David said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You ever done that? You ever just been reading through the Bible and all of a sudden God show you something? And you go, wow! I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth grace. What's that? You found treasure. Like going around with a metal detector, you know? I always wanted to do that. That's my dream of retirement. Walking on the beaches with a metal detector. Amen. You know, finding about $1,000 in jewelry every day. Go up to the pawn shop once a week, you know, and then rest time go fishing. I ain't going to do it. I'm going to be stuck here with y'all, but I'm just saying that's a dream. It's a dream. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Did you have breakfast this morning? Or are you fasting? How many times do you eat a day? Now you see, we're wondering, well, what's wrong with me? The problem with you is you're a no good, filthy, rotten sinner. But you should already know that. The cure for it is what? Put the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. Get filled with the Spirit. Say, how do you do that? By letting yourself go and praying that God will come down with some... No. The Spirit's right here. Get filled with it. How many times a day do you eat? Hello? Come on now. Right? I want you full. Have you ever just read so much that God said, you got to stop now or you're going to bust? I was one time when I read the Bible too much. Just kidding. See? When's the last time you read the Bible too much? Come on. See? Why are you looking at me like that? I'm talking about having joy. I ain't going back there. That preacher, he just wants me to have joy. How dare he? Come on. That's where you're going to get. I'm trying to tell you how to get it. It's right here. Help yourself. You can have all you want. What did he say? Verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Amen. God's word ought to be the joy and rejoicing of your heart. What brings you joy, Christian? What brings you joy? It ought to be the words of God. You ought to enjoy preaching. You ought to enjoy good Christian music that's scriptural. See? You ought to enjoy the words of God. You ought to rejoice in that. I look forward to revival meetings. I just look forward to time when I can just get filled with the Bible. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. You ought to eat it up, just like honey, the Bible says. The Word of God is likened to honey. It's sweet. It's good. It ought to bring joy to your life. I know why some of you come out every time we have Bible study, Friday nights, you're here Wednesday. I know what it is. You find joy in the Scriptures. And you ought to. That's good. And even though sometimes when the preaching of the Word and the teaching of the Bible is going on and then the Holy Spirit takes those words and like a knife cuts into your heart and says, that's you. You need to get right about that. And then you have to come to an altar and say, where's the joy in that? There's joy in that. Listen, the joy isn't just hearing it. The joy isn't doing something about it. And when you'll conform your life to God's Scriptures, to the Word of God, you come down an old-fashioned altar and say, God, your Word is true, I'm wrong, I repent. See, you get close to Christ, point number one. You get the Bible in you. You know what the result is? Joy. You say, that doesn't make any sense. How can weeping bring joy? Well, that brings me to my next point. Look in the Gospel of John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We obtain, find joy through weeping, through tears. That doesn't make any sense. That's what you call a paradox. That's like jumbo shrimp. Military intelligence, you know. And there's paradoxes in the Bible, and they're just so. Bible says you want to be exalted? Humble yourself. Bible says you want to get blessed? Give. Those are paradox. They don't make any sense to the natural mind, to the natural man. They're opposites. But God says, you want joy? Shed some tears. John chapter 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into, what is sorrow turned into? Joy. That doesn't make any sense. But the Lord said it so. And then he explains it. Verse 21, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow. That doesn't mean she's shopping with her husband. That means she's giving birth to a child. Don't get those two confused. Now, when she's giving birth to a child, that is not what I would consider a fun experience. I have never understood as a man, ladies, honestly, I have never understood as a man why a woman would want a second child. I can't figure that out. Honest to God. After going through that one time, just watching it, you know, is enough. No, we're adopting, you know, something. And they'll go back and have another kid. And then another, and then some of them, another, and another, and another. And it's like, man, they enjoy pain or what is it? You know what it is? Listen, they're looking past the sorrow to the joy that follows. Verse 21, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, they that reap in tears, or that sow in tears, shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Tears equals joy. That doesn't make any sense. But it's so. It's just a paradox of Scripture. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night. But you know what follows? Joy cometh in the morning. And through weeping, through mourning, through tears, we find on the other side of that veil a place of joy. It's a paradox. Here's another paradox. Look with me in Acts chapter 13. When it comes to joy, we find joy through Christ's presence. We find joy through the Scriptures. We find joy through tears. We find joy through persecution and trials. Now that doesn't make any sense at all. You want to have joy? Go through trouble. You want to have joy? Go through temptation. Oh boy! No, that's not what comes to my mind. Huh? When I start thinking of troubles I've had in my life, trials and afflictions that we may go through as God's people, you don't normally associate the word joy with that. But God does. Look with me in Acts chapter 13 and verse 50. Acts 13 and verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy. What was the result of the persecution? Joy. Now, that doesn't make any sense. But there it is. You know what it is? Listen, if you'll just serve God and just accept whatever it is that God has for your life, you know what you end up finding? You find joy. You know what a lot of people are doing all over this world, saved and unsaved? They're chasing a greased pig. That's what they're doing. You ever seen, carnivals or fairs, or they, you know, they got the greased pig, and all the kids, and they'll tie a, you know, a wad of money to the pig's tail or something, and then they just cover that whole pig in grease, and you've got to catch the pig, and if you catch the pig, you win the prize. But the problem is every time you just get a hold of that pig, that grease, that pig, and it just, you know, that's what the world's doing. The devil's got them all out there. He's got to carry it out before that mule. And that mule, he's just hanging it out like that. And every time that mule thinks, I just about got it. I just about got it. And that's how you get a mule to do what you want him to do, because he'll just keep going. I guess I'm going to get it. I know I'm going to get it. And listen, that's what the devil does to the world, to many Christians. You can have joy. Do this. And they keep looking. And they keep trying to get it. And they keep trying to get a hold of that greased pig. And every time you just about get there, there it goes out again. You don't find joy by looking for joy. You find joy just by surrendering to God, getting His presence, getting the Scriptures, weeping and feeling bad about your sins, getting your heart and your life right, getting all cleaned up, and then you know what happens? You don't find joy. Joy finds you. That's the only way to find joy. You don't find joy by looking for joy. You find joy by just doing what God said to do, and then joy just somewhere along the way just creeps on in. And I love it when joy shows up. Acts chapter 16. Notice it again. Acts chapter 16 and verse 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders. Oh, I guess I'll go to chapter 16, verse 23. It's all good, but that's not part of the message. Verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, that sounds like fun. Say, so what's that? They're whipping them. Who? The apostles, Paul, being persecuted, Paul and Silas. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Now you get beaten, then you get put in jail. And listen, the prisons back then weren't like the prisons today. They didn't have HBO, okay? They didn't have air conditioning. You know what they had? A cell, and you just went to the bathroom, wherever, and they gave you food when they wanted to, and there was no light. That was prison. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. That's the worst part. And made their feet fast in the stocks. Bound their feet in the stocks. Sound like fun, doesn't it? Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoner heard them. What are they doing? Singing praises and praying. Don't they realize the condition they're in? It's when you're in a situation like that that joy creeps in. You don't find joy by looking for it. See, I can't explain to you, I've never been through it, and neither have any of you, how a man like John Huss can be strapped and tied to a pole and then burned alive in the fire and sing hymns while his flesh is sizzling on his body and while he's dying. I can't understand that. But there it is. Say, where do you find joy? It's found in affliction. It's found in suffering. It's found in the trials, in the troubles of life for the child of God. 1 Thessalonians. Because that's when Jesus is closest. That's when the Lord gives more grace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that weird? God keeps talking about joy and struggles and trials, and right along there is what? Joy. Boy, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but there it is. James chapter 1. James. Chapter 1. And right after James is 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. Look with me first in James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That doesn't go together, does it? When's the last time you had a diverse temptation and had joy? 1 Peter chapter 4. You're all getting quiet on me this morning. I'm trying to show you how to have joy. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Every Christian thinks, nobody's gone through what I've gone through. Nobody knows what I'm dealing with. Nobody understands. Nobody knows. I don't think Paul and Silas were singing that in the prison. The trouble I've seen. No, I think Paul and Silas were probably singing something more along the lines of, Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Yeah. That joy. Real joy. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice! When? When you're going through a fiery trial. Is that how you handle it? Listen, usually if we go through a fiery trial, we're just happy to get through to the other side. Am I right? It's just like, man, I am glad that's over with. But that's not scriptural. God didn't say to endure the fiery trials. What did he say to do? Rejoice. That is one of the hardest verses in the Bible to observe. But there it is. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay. I went through a few things when I started pastoring here in the church. Nothing real big, but a few things. And I can't say that I was actually probably obeying that verse all the time. But there were a few times, even through all that, and you know what it would be when I would be by myself out in my office and open up this Bible. And then God would start speaking to me. I mean to me. Through those scriptures. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory! Found there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8. See, you can't explain these things unless you've been through it. And if you've been through it, then you understand when the Lord kind of steps in with that extra grace and the Lord gives joy during the funeral. The Lord gives joy when your child's having that operation. That's what we have. That the world doesn't have. Preachers preaching today that Christians don't have to go through things. We go through the same thing they go through, but we don't have to go through them the same way. We don't have to run to the Xanax. We don't have to run to the vodka. We don't have to, see, we can run to Jesus. Say, why? There's the joy. Joy is found in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now, there's a paradox verse if you ever saw one. What's he saying? They had a great trial of affliction, so they had great joy. And they were really poor, so they gave. Paradox. But there it is. And finally, you can have and find joy. This is an obvious one, through repentance to salvation. Amen. The only way to find joy is find Christ. And until you know Jesus Christ, you can't know joy. Amen. There's where joy is found. It's found in knowing Him. In thy presence is fullness of joy. To know Christ is to know joy. And to have no Christ is to have no joy. You have joy this morning? You ought to. The season of joy, Christmas. Listen, if you're a Christian, you ought to have joy throughout the year. You know why the world has to have a season of joy? You know what that is an admittance to? That the rest of the time they don't. We don't need to have a season of joy. We should have joy all the time. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you supposed to love all the time as a Christian or just when you feel like it? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Y'all say it together. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Smile this time when you say it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. See, it doesn't hurt. Nothing cracked. I never thought I'd get people under conviction before for preaching about making them have joy. Listen, what are we celebrating? Is it the birth of Christ? Why? That was a great time of joy. That's when joy came into the world. The world had been going for 4,000 years in total darkness. Until finally one day, the angels announced to the shepherds, sent the star and said, there's a birth coming. There's a baby going to be born. And they came along that way, looking down in there along with the sheep and the goats and the oxen in that manger and down in that crib of straw and swaddling clothes with Joseph and Mary looking over. Those shepherds looked down in there and could say with all honesty to that babe, what a precious bundle of joy. You know what God sent to this world 2,000 years ago? He sent a great gift to this world, the gift of salvation. And when you open it up, you know what you find inside? You find joy. You don't have to be miserable anymore. If you don't know Christ, you can know Him today. Unwrap and see what it is God's provided for you. You know what you'll find inside? Some precious ointment, some myrrh, some precious gold, all the beautiful gifts that they brought Him, He'll offer to you when you know Christ as Savior. Let's stand. Do you know the reason for the season? Christ died for your sins, was crucified, buried, rose again. He lives on high. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, come and receive Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive joy. When Christ enters into your heart and life, joy enters into your heart and life. He's not a baby anymore. He grew up. He lived on this earth and dwelt among men, worked as a carpenter, entered his ministry, baptized by John the Baptist, tempted by the devil, preached, did signs and wonders and miracles, and then laid down his life on an old rugged cross, shed his blood so that your sins could be forgiven, died, and 3 days later came out and left an empty tomb behind, and now lives on high, seated at the right hand of Father, holding out his hand, looking down with bended ear, waiting for someone to come and trust him as their Savior. We're not talking about dead religion here. We're talking about a living Savior. And when you know Christ, and you're right with him, and you surrender to him, and you allow him to have the rule and the reign in your life, and you're in the Scriptures, it doesn't matter what you go through down here, or what you have to face, or what trials or afflictions. It doesn't matter if times are good, or if times are bad. Paul said in all things, in the good times and in the bad, he was able to rejoice. He was able to have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy now, Christ wants you, Christian, to have that joy. You know what David had to pray? Return unto me the joy of thy salvation. If you're saved, maybe the joy is kind of leaked out. Why don't you just come down for a minute, pray to God. Get things right between you and the Lord. Get those joy bells back in there, ringing like they once did. You know what I'm talking about. Why don't you take care of that thing now? Why don't you surrender it to the Lord? Sister, you go ahead and play whatever the Lord put on your heart to play. They say down south, you know, when you go to a meal, you go to somebody's house, they'll tell me, I'm a preacher, hold your fork. Tell them, that was a great meal. Man, that was good stuff. I sure appreciate that. That was a good meal. So say, preacher, hold your fork. So what do they mean? I said, yeah, this was good. But dessert's coming. The best is yet to come. Hey, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory down here. Imagine what it's going to be like up there. You know what the Lord's got prepared for us? Dessert. You know what it is? It's joy with a cherry on top. It's just joy, 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 joy. You know what heaven is? There's no unjoy in heaven. All sorrow shall flee away. All tears be wiped away. If there's any tears, there'll be tears of joy. All heaven will be is joy. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for all eternity. Because that's God's desire for us. And the devil's a thief and a robber. And some of you, he broke in and he's taken some things. Why don't you get it right today? Why don't you get that joy of his salvation restored in your heart and life today? It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. What number is that, sister? 283? Let's sing that out, 283. If God has spoken to your heart, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with it, don't say no to God. Just say, all right, Lord, get the thing right. Believe me. You'll leave here today with joy unspeakable in your heart. Let's sing it out on the first. I have found His grace is all complete. I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, yes, I'm free, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Don't forget, if anybody happens to mention to you about Christmas or joy or any of that stuff, now you tell them that knowing Christ is knowing joy. And the reason that Christmas is a time of joy isn't because of the Mass. It's because of the Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Brother Steve Streeter, if you'll close us in prayer, please.